Amen. Well, here we go. I'm going to share my screen here with you guys. I'm excited about this word because for years I've always looked at wanting to know what is the real power of his resurrection. I believe in the last scripture that we'll read in today's message, Paul asked that he wanted to know the same thing. And I think God has given us a pretty good grasp on it in this word today. This rhema is going to reveal just that. There's still blood on the post, part two. Today, the power of his resurrection is being revealed. Thursday, the Passover was revealed to us and how coming to the post of his doors grants us an exemption. It gets us in touch with the victim or the offering, which is the Lamb of God. And then it brings us by his blood into the place of festival, a festival celebration. It brings us into what we would call Zoe life, the God life, where things just, the free favors of God profusely abound there. It's the festival. It's the revealing of his bidirectional blessing of salvation and success. Well, in this message, the Father is going to impart faith concerning the true power of Jesus's resurrection. I said the Father is going to impart faith. I believe the voice of the Father is going to be on the line with us today, because anytime you're giving a revelation of Jesus, it comes from the Father, because only the Father can reveal the Son. So it's all about salvation and success. This is what we're learning, our bidirectional faith that produces the bidirectional blessings. Well, his resurrection had everything to do with the fact that his temperament, or there's an exchange of temperament at the post. His resurrection actually points to this, and we're going to dig right into it. So let's go get it. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, it says this: "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water." Verse 21, watch this, guys. "The like figure whereunto even baptism," which we all know is baptizo, the constant dipping, the constant dipping in the rhema word is what that word is, the root word is there for baptism. "It doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh." So you can try to be good all you want to, but that does not bring you into the place of salvation. Watch what brings you into salvation. "Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." I never saw this. I never recognized this. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ." That exchange that we're experiencing at the post is directly associated, yes, with the blood, but it's also associated with the fact that Jesus rose again. The exchange of our conscience for his, our temperament for his, is directly in line with the power of his resurrection. So the good conscience toward God comes by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." So now the Lord wants us to know that when we are experiencing the exchange, and that's what this is all about today, this word today, is we're getting in touch with the power of his resurrection. That he's revealing the true source of his power, the power of his resurrection there, and where it's coming from. We learn that going to the post gives us that exchange, that temperament. It's temperament for our temperament, his temperament for our temperament. Not only is it the Passover moment that we learned about, but it's also the power of his resurrection being released in us. Remember, Passover means the victim or offering, and it also means the festival. Well, when our conscience is clear, this is amazing. What an offering and sacrifice Jesus is. First of all, I just want to break this down real quick. Let me just sidebar it for a second. First of all, I find it amazing that he's the victim. He's the offering. Then we find that he's not just the victim or the offering, but today's message is going to show how he's also the high priest who administered the offering in heaven, which gave us access to this place that we're coming into, this exchange, this temperament exchange. He administered all of the sacraments there, and then he becomes the door into the festival. And I mean, we have the bomb diggity of all high priests. I mean, the best in the history that ever lived. I mean, he's absolutely, flawless in every which way, shape, and form. He knows exactly how to handle everything that's going on and in the sacrament to bring us into this place of Passover. He's not just the killed lamb, but he's the lamb that rose again. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, I didn't just become a sacrifice for you guys and die to where now your sins are remitted through my death, but I rose again so I can administer the life that I live into you. What a God we serve. So when our conscience is clear, it is directly associated with the fact that Jesus has risen and is sharing his life with us. This is why the sacrifice is much more powerful than the animal sacrifices. He not only died in perfection, but he's risen in all power and glory. The life he shares with us is the life of his, listen, he said it's the life of his resurrected state. We get both Passover and the festival, which is his resurrected life at the post. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, come on now. Look, watch this here. Now, Jesus, we're going to look at how he administered the sacraments in heaven for our festival. So now he administered this. And this is really, really, really astounding. I love looking at this scripture here. And I love reading and studying it because I get more and more out of it as I go in it. It says in John 20, 10 through 18, it says, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15 says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, and look at how he opens her eyes just with one word, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Just a side note, I've always loved that text because it reveals how God honored women in ministry. She was the first in history to really preach the gospel ever, to really preach the gospel after the resurrection. The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection. So she preached the full gospel and she's the first in history. So mm-hmm. People can't say women are not ordained to preach. It's a lie, because she was the first to share the good news of his resurrection. And so I love that as a side note. But what we're focused on is this. The Lord told her not to touch him. And we've gone through this in Old Store TGM. But boy, it's gonna really open your eyes today. The Lord told her not to touch him, for he had not yet ascended to his Father. He was going to the heavenly tabernacle to perform the sacraments of the sin offering. This is amazing for us. It's amazing. You're going to have a deep perception of who your high priest is, how powerful your high priest is, and how he's still interceding and performing on your behalf. That's why he's putting his temperament on you. Watch this here. She would have tainted if she touched him. She would have ruined the sacrifice. Remember, he wasn't just the lamb to take away our sins. He was also the high priest to perform the sacraments in the heavenly temple. So he couldn't, his body couldn't be handled because he had to go put blood on the post in heaven. If she had touched him, she would have tainted the sacrifice and all of what he did would have been for nothing. All of what he did, his death, his burial, his it would have been all jacked up if she had just touched him. That's how holy the sacrifice is. Watch this. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, now Jesus starts to put in the work here. In Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14, and then we'll skip down to verse 19 through 24. But we pick up at verse 11. It says, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered. He's administering here. And the writer of Hebrews is revealing that Jesus had entered. He begins to administer the sin offering sacraments. He began to do what was necessary in the heavenlies. Watch. He said he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Watch this now. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, here we go, your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more is his blood worth than that of the blood of bulls and goats? How much more? His blood was absolutely, it reaches to the conscience. There it is again. We started out in 1 Peter looking at how the resurrection gives us a good conscience, the power of his resurrection. So there's something here. Remember, we learned on Thursday that it wasn't the blood per se, but we learned that the life is in the blood. Well, if Jesus didn't rise again, he wouldn't be able to administer his life into your life. There would be no exchange if the Lord did not rise. There would be no temperament exchange. You would not be able to have a conscience that's clear if he did not rise again. Somebody say amen if you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
The fact that Jesus rose, it's very simple. It's not really that deep. He rose not only to take away sin and then defeat it, but he rose because now he himself would become the one that performs the sacraments in the heavens and stay there and give us this exchange that we're experiencing. Watch, I'm going to show you. It says he purges, it purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The question was asked. For when Moses had spoken, watch, every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 23 is key. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So Jesus did exactly what Moses did on earth, but he did it with his better sacrifice, with his blood. For Christ is not, here it is again, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Jesus told her, don't touch me. I've got work to put in. I've got to prepare this heavenly tabernacle. I got to prepare the post of the doors so my people can come and I can make exchange because my blood has purified the heavens. You might not understand this, but the heavens needed it because Satan or Lucifer was once there and he, in his mind, sinned in heaven. So heaven needed purifying, and that was the place that we would now meet. We would now meet there. And that's where we're getting this exchange because Jesus did what Moses did and all the high priests had to do in the heavens for us. Watch this now. Mm-hmm. Christ's blood purified the heavenly tabernacle in its entirety. Just as Moses did, Christ did the same. The blood on the post grants us access into the temperament, as we have learned. But the temperament is a revealing of his resurrection. If he wasn't alive, he wouldn't be able to impart his character into us. This is why power now can flow in and on our lives. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus. It's not, he didn't just stop at presenting the blood, but because this particular high priest, this particular sacrifice, Jesus rose, and now he's imparting supernaturally and by the Spirit of God, he's imparting his life into us. Watch this now. You're gonna understand it more and more as we go. Hebrews 7, 22 through 28. By so much, it says here, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Watch this now. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus being the high priest there and having administered and prepared the heavenly tabernacle, which now we go and make the exchange here. Watch this. He's able to save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
Why? Because he doesn't die off like the priest did back in the day. He stays forever to make intercession for you. He's there forever. So don't you even worry about certain things you haven't been delivered from yet. Because the risen Savior is there, and he's there forever making intercession for you until you're saved to the uttermost. He's making sure that he makes an exchange of character. This is what he's doing. He's putting in the work for you. He's saying, okay, he's not yet out of that. She's not yet done with that. He's sitting there continually being there for you, making intercession, imparting himself.
Hallelujah.
To bring full deliverance. If he did not raise from the dead, he would not be able to do what he's doing. But because he rose from the dead, he's administering this sacrament for you. He's bringing you completely out of everything that doesn't line up with God himself. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. It says, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make his intercession for them. Verse 26 says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily at those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first of, for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Watch this now. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We have a high priest that will not die. There won't have to be an exchange of high priests here. So one high priest understood your plight. He understood your problem, but he died off before he could get you into the place of perfection. We don't have to worry about that because our risen Savior will not die again. He will stay on the job. He will be there for you. He will forever make intercession. You're coming out. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That is the power of his resurrection. You're coming out of whatever it is that it ails you, whatever that you're trying to, whatever you're struggling with. He's going to make sure that he's on the job day and night. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. He is going to bring you completely out of sin. The resurrection, the power of the resurrection is the fact that he forever lives to make intercession for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're being saved to the uttermost. That's why he's making the exchange of temperament. It's salvation in its entirety. Again, I say, don't you worry about what you haven't been delivered from yet. The power of his resurrection is at the post. There's blood on the post for you, and you're going to experience the power of his resurrection.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
God has blessed us in this dispensation, this time in which we live. To be saved to the uttermost means all completed. To be saved to the uttermost means to become perfect. He said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Well, this is how. When we come to the post of his doors, the power, not just the blessing of Passover, but the power of his resurrection is there as well. It's right there waiting for you. And God, I'm telling you right now, I need you to take heart. I need you to really quit yourself. Square your shoulders back and understand that God is not done with you. He's not finished yet. The power of the resurrected Jesus is flowing on your behalf, and you will experience, you will become conformable unto his death. So the reason he is able to save to the uttermost is because he's risen. He will live forever. You see, the earthly high priest had expiration dates. They couldn't see it all the way through. They had imperfect sacrifices. They couldn't reach the consciences of men. Not our high priest. His blood reaches everywhere in men. And he imparts his perfect way of living at the same time. He has no expiration date on his life, and he's putting in the work right now to make you and I perfect. He is forever interceding on our behalf. You don't have to worry about anything. Lest the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You don't have to wait. You don't have to walk the floors. Why? Because Jesus is already putting in the work. He's already making sure. Only thing you have to do is say amen and come to the post of his doors and let the power of his resurrection be felt, experienced in your life. Watch the change. Feel after it. I feel like on the inside of me, I got to say this, man. I feel like I'm about to explode out of this old man. I feel like the state of this flesh is about to implode. I mean, it's going to go boom. And all of a sudden, the fullness of God's glory is going to be resting on me. And that's what's happening to you. If you've been coming to the post, you should have an anticipation of perfection flowing on your life. You can feel the changes that are being made. You can tell there's an exchange. There's a difference about you now. You got a new bounce in your step. You've got something to live for that goes beyond what was.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's happening, praise God. It's truly happening. And Amen. If you're not experiencing that, I say to you, get up and run to the post of his doors. Come into the presence of our God. Come into this rhema word and let him make an exchange. Accept the changes that he's making. Yeah. The joy of the Lord and the love of it should be growing on you right now. Because Jesus is not dead. He's alive and well. And he's imparting, he's making disciples. He's making true sons and daughters of God. Father's letting you know right now, the Son is still on the case. And he's got your back until the day of perfection enters into your life. And it's coming, praise God. Paul knew this, and he knew it was available. And he wanted it. Paul really wanted it. And I'm about to close here. I'm about to close, but listen to this here. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Boy, I tell you, somebody's coming out right now. Somebody's being delivered right now on this line. Hope is being restored in somebody's spirit. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Somebody is getting hope again and understanding that the resurrected Savior is working on your behalf, that you're not going to die in sin, that you're not going to die in a place of imperfection. Someone's getting a rhema right now, and God is performing on your behalf through Christ. He's performing on your behalf. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul knew this, and he knew it was available, and he wanted it more than anything. He knew that the life of the Savior, the resurrected life of the Savior, was available, and he yearned for it. In Philippians 3, 9 through 12, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, Paul is talking, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh boy, how we've chopped that up. That I may know him, he says in the next verse, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That word conformable, you want to highlight it or underline it because it's really powerful. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Listen to what he says here. Saved Paul, the apostle. Listen to how he says this. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul is saying something here, that there's an exchange that's available, that there's something that can happen. I can be made conformable. He understood that he even breaks down and says, not that I've already made it. This is the apostle saying this. Not that I've already made it, not that I've already attained this place of being conformable, not that I've already achieved this, but I follow after that if I may apprehend. That means he's going to apprehend. He's going somewhere. I believe Paul had a revelation of coming to the post, to coming before the Lord and finding an exchange. That's why he made mention of I die daily. He understood what he was looking for. And that this high priest, Jesus, was there performing for him, that he could be exchanged from Paul the man, or from Saul to Paul. He could be exchanged from a man of the earth to a man that's of the heavens. He was looking for this. He was trying to apprehend it. He said this. He said that I may know him. In that saying alone gives revelation to the fact that Paul is saying, I need to experience him. Because that's how the power of his resurrection is going to come out. Jesus, the risen Savior, I need to experience him. And the power of his resurrection. Listen, if you don't know, what I'm trying to tell you is temperament is directly associated with the power of his resurrection. The clear conscience toward God comes through the resurrected life of Jesus.
Amen, God.
And if you don't experience the power of his resurrection, and this is what I said, all this to get boil it down, you will not be conformable unto his death. The word conformable means to render like, or to assimilate, to make conformable unto me. It means unto, to be conformed to. I like this last definition. Receive the same form as. Paul knew that he had to experience an exchange. He knew if he was going to be ready himself to be in a place where he would achieve the resurrection of the dead, that he would make it, that he would be saved. He understood that he had to know the power of the resurrection, which was an exchange of temperament. It was an exchange. That is the power of the resurrected Savior, that he's the high priest, not only that's making intercession, but no. He's also imparting himself. Paul said, I got to be conformable, that if I'm going to, that I might attain, it says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I've got to know the power of his resurrection. And TGM, you got to know that when you're coming to the post, you are experiencing the power of his resurrection. Boy, can you imagine having a revelation like this? My God, you're touching the resurrected Savior. And he's imparting his life. He's imparting. Why? He's making you conformable. He's saving you. He's saving you with himself.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
At the post of his doors, you're touching the power of his resurrection. I know for some of you supernaturals, it doesn't sound that good because you always wanted the power to be raising the dead, walking through walls and doing great exploits. Well, I don't mean to dull it down, but all those things are there, but that's not the truth. That's not the reason for the power of his resurrection. That's not the reason. The reason for the power, what the true power of his resurrection is you becoming conformable. You looking like him, you coming into the similitude of him, you assimilate, you receive the same formats. That's the power. So you're at the greatest source and you're at the greatest reasoning why Jesus rose. He rose to make you conformable. He rose so you could be just like him. So you could also attain the resurrection from the dead. That's who our high priest is. He's putting in work right now. I'm telling you, yes, he is. You probably say, but it is finished. It is finished. But he's forever making intercession. He's seeing it all the way through. And as you come to the post of his doors, not only do you receive your exemption, you receive Passover, but you also receive the power of his resurrection. You're being made conformable. You're changing. You're winning. Where sin once dominated you, it's losing its grip. It's losing its power. You have a consciousness now. You're awakening, glory be to God. You're coming into this thing and you're seeing, you're discerning. You're receiving instruction concerning it because you've been coming to these bloody posts and you've been hanging out with the high priest that lives forever. And he's there making intercession for you. He's making a way of escape for you. Glory be to God. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will be superior to the life that he's putting on you. No temptation will be superior. You're not going to lose. You're going to win. You will be perfect just as he is perfect. It's guaranteed. Guaranteed. Because you have a high priest that is forever making intercession. And he's got your back. He's got your back and he's revealing the power of his resurrection. Don't go past walking in temperament, people. Don't go seeking for anything else. Because let me tell you something. All of the power, all of the supernatural gifts and all of the miracle working wonders of our God come from out of the temperament of Christ. So you're not going to miss out on raising the dead. All that comes within the package. But just take away a revelation with you today that as you come to the post of his doors and as the exchange of temperament takes place, you're under the power of his resurrection. You are being made conformable. He's fixing you to have life and life eternal. He's making things right. He's risen, everybody. And this anointing that's on this line right now, this anointing that's here right this very moment, that's right here on this line with you. I'm telling you right now, this anointing that's on this line is the resurrected power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that your mind has come into a place of shifting and coming into an ease, it's the power of his resurrection. It is the power of his resurrection. You are released right now into the power of his resurrection. You were granted an exemption through Passover. And now you've come in. Oh, glory be to God. All in the same motion. You've come in to the power of his resurrection. Only God can do that. Only God. God brings you into a temperament, makes an exchange, brings you into his temperament, gets you out of a mindset of sin and guilt. I mean, all at one time. And then he says in the same motion, you are now conformable to the resurrection. You've just been made conformable. Anybody that's under propitiation right now, anyone that has that ease of mind, you are conformable. My goodness, that's the level of righteousness that's on you. You're conformable. You're a similitude. You look just like him. Ask and you shall receive. Why? Because all the promises are yea and amen to the one true seed. Ask and you will receive. Everything you need is right here. Right here at the post. Right here in his temperament. For all the power that's locked in him is right here. The ability to heal and to deliver. The ability to bring wealth and finances and success. Everything is here. You're right where you need to be right now. You're in the power of his resurrection. You're right where you belong. And the Lord is moving for you right now. The Lord is moving on your behalf right now. He's fixing everything right now. You're flowing in his resurrected state. It's his resurrected temperament. It was perfect as it was, but this is the fullness of it. He said, Father, restore me back to my former glory, back to when I was with you and in you. Yeah, you have the fullness of Jesus. That's what it means to be at the post. Another definition means fullness. You have fullness working on your behalf. You've got the resurrected Jesus working. And that's what you're being changed into. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we give you glory for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that at the post we find not just our exemption, our Passover, but Lord, we also find the state of your resurrection. We find the place where you are. We find that you're alive and you're well as you're imparting your life. You're making us your disciples. You are changing us. And you couldn't do that if you weren't living. But because you are alive and you live forever, Jesus, you're there forever. Oh, goodness. You're seeing it all the way through. You are saving us to the uttermost. You are causing perfection to come on our lives. I feel it swelling up, Master. I feel it, Lord God, expanding on the inside of me. And what's on the inside is coming to the outside, and I'm feeling the blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Called your own. I'm feeling, Lord Jesus, what you do. I recognize you here and now, Lord God. I recognize you for our ministry and for everybody that's associated with our ministry. I know you're doing the same thing in them. Reveal to them, Lord Jesus, I pray. Reveal to them the state of perfection that is forever coming upon us. Let them feel it. Let them sense it. Let them know it. Oh, and it will cause hope, Lord God, to expand and explode. It'll cause our faith, Lord Jesus, to be stabilized and stay in the realm of authenticity. I am so elated by what you're doing. I'm so blessed by what you're doing, Master. I'm so blessed. Now I understand why you continue to say there's no weapon formed against us that will prosper, because you're forever making intercession and you are saving us to the uttermost. Hallelujah. We see it like Paul, Master. Hallelujah. We see it like Paul. We don't run ahead of it, Lord God.
Yes.
We say just like, not that I've already attained and already been made perfect, but I follow after. If I can apprehend that which has apprehended me, if I can grab hold of what's gotten a hold of me, and every day I'll come to the post to grab you and to grab at you, to try to apprehend more. Every single day I'll let your influence, your grace, bring me to the post.
Yes, Jesus.
Rokova, that I might be made, yes. That we might be made conformable. That we might become your similitudes, that we might look just like you. Carbon copies, Lord.
Yes, God.
And I give you glory. I'm so grateful that you rose. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that you were the sacrifice and the victim. I'm grateful that it was you. We're grateful that it was you. You were the sacrifice for our lives. You have given us the ability to enter into perfection. I'm so grateful that you are the door to the festival. And I'm so grateful that you're still the high priest. You're the high priest that has administered all of this. And that you're there on my and our behalf. I am so grateful for you, Jesus. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful, grateful. Thank you. Thank you for putting in the work. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Lord, I mean it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lord.
Thank you.
Wow, you put in the work. You did it all. And you deserve all the glory. The sacrifice. The high priest, the festival, it's all you. You put in that work for us. You're amazing, Jesus. You're amazing. You're amazing, Master. Oh, you're amazing. You told her not to touch you for us. You had us on your mind when you were talking to her. You still had us on your mind. And you knew work had to be done. How awesome you are, Master. He said, lift your hands if you're before him. Think about how awesome he is. When Mary came and she tried to handle him, he was thinking, no. I'm not done yet. I got some more work to do so I can prepare a place for all of my people. He said, don't touch me. No, don't ruin this sacrifice. Don't taint it. I'm almost finished. Go tell my disciples I'm going to my father and their father. He said, go tell them I'm going to finish this and I'll be back. I'll be back. When he appeared unto them, he had already been there. Mm-hmm. You know he had been there because he told Thomas, he said, here, handle me, touch me. Look at my hands and my feet. Put your hand in my side. You know he had already ascended and mm-hmm. handled his business.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he had to do for us. And there's still blood on the post granting you access. There's still blood granting you access. Access into his mindset, his way of doing things, his way of thinking. There's still blood there. Glory be to God. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. We have a few comments. I missed them on Thursday, but I read them. We hear from Sister Blanche. She said, oh, wow. Amen. Javon said, hallelujah to the eternal high priest, Jesus. Elder Allison said, to the uttermost, hallelujah. Elder Donna said, bless God. Hallelujah. Kurt, man. Kurt said, amen. Our high priest lives forevermore. Yes, he does. There's such value behind that. There's such value. Oh, boy. Elder Donna said, amen. Amen. Nita said this. Benita said, the power of the Passover and the resurrection is at the post. Hallelujah. That's right. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine getting the Passover and the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, all at one time? Come on, how does that happen? Passover dealt with killing. Resurrection deals with life. We get both at the same time.
Oh.
He put in that work for us. Whoo, boy, oh boy. Javon said, there is perfection at the post. Thank you, Lord. There really is. There really is, and it's swelling up on the inside of us. It's swelling up. Oh, just let it explode. And it's going to consume everything. It's not like him. Man, we are covered. We are so covered by Passover and resurrection. Hey, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, on this coming Thursday, I want those that will, I'm not calling you out,